This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Peter Ferrara, General Counsel at the American Civil Rights Union. He has recently written a new opinion piece suggesting that Sharron Angle's victory in Nevada shows that conservative voters are tired of voting for rhinos, Republicans in name only, and they're ready to send a real conservative to Congress. And Peter, it's great to have you with us again.
Great to be here.
What was it about this race? We obviously had Sue Loudon, who's a former state party chairman, so she's clearly an establishment figure. And then Danny Tarkanian was, I guess, somewhere in the middle. What was it about Sharron Angle that you think perhaps demonstrated a more pure version of a conservative viewpoint than the other candidates in the race?
Well, she was a candidate of substance that emphasized themes of economic growth and prosperity, and fundamental structural entitlement reforms to get control of the budget and long-term spending. So she was the candidate of substance, and also she was the candidate with real grassroots. So she wasn't just sort of an establishment figurehead who expected the voters to turn out for her. She was one who had real grassroots organizations throughout northern Nevada. So the substantive policies focused on those issues of economic prosperity and growth and fundamental entitlement reform to get control of long-term spending and balance the budget. Those were the main issues that carried her to victory.
Why did it come so suddenly? It seemed like this was Sue Loudon's to lose, and then all of a sudden, within just a matter of a couple of weeks, Sharron Angle came really out of a distant third place and, by Election Day, won easily.
Well, Sue Loudon was much better known. She was a former state party chairman, so everybody assumed that she was a perfect candidate. Sharron Angle had only been in the state legislature and had not had a more prominent position and was less well known. Moreover, Sue Loudon was from the urban Las Vegas area, which is what the rest of the country pays attention to. But Sharron Angle was from northern Nevada, and she really had all those grassroots throughout the northern part of the state. And so she was much less well known. But when she got the endorsement of the Tea Party, and then she got the endorsement of the Club for Growth, and then she got the endorsement of Phyllis Schlafly and Mark Levin, and you see this trend now going on across the country. People are looking for identifiers. Who are the real candidates we can trust? They're looking to people that they know that they can trust. These endorsements mean far more now than they've ever meant before. So they hear Mark Levin on the radio every day. So they know if they agree with him, who he endorses is someone they want to support. Or they know what Phyllis Schlafly stands for. If she endorses somebody, that's somebody they can support. The Tea Party has been particularly brilliant because it's not identified around a particular person. There's no one person who's risen above to the general public. So it's such a grassroots thing that makes it even more effective.
We're talking with Peter Ferrara of the American Civil Rights Union. Peter, I'm sure you've heard it. Democrats seem to be celebrating today because they think Angle was the weakest possible opponent for Harry Reid, who's in a whole lot of trouble out there. And even some Republicans are nervous. They think that given the war chest that Harry Reid has, her positions on wanting to eliminate the Department of Education and phase out Social Security over time are going to give Reid ample opportunity to just beat her over the head with TV advertising for the next several months. How concerned are you about that?
You know, that's what they said about Ronald Reagan. Jimmy Carter was ecstatic that Reagan won the primaries. They thought they had it in the bag. And, of course, Reagan just reformed all of American politics and then created a generation of 25 years of economic prosperity. Sharron Angle is not for phasing out Social Security. She's for giving people a choice of personal accounts. And one of the problems, the things that turns off the public, is the dishonesty of our politics, where we can't discuss issues because these special interests tell such lies about it. And so that's why it forces the substance out of the politics. But this is not a year where that's going to work. So it's not true she wants to phase out Social Security. She wants personal accounts for Social Security. That's sort of the extremist rhetoric of Harry Reid and the left-wing, new left Democrats that are now running the country.
And from the Tea Party perspective, is she the star of Tuesday night, or is Nikki Haley right up there with her, the likely nominee in South Carolina, barely missed avoiding the runoff?
Well, Nikki Haley, of course, won a big victory. But the rock star right now in America is Sharron Angle, because she is taking on the Senate Majority Leader, the embodiment. You know, Harry Reid was the one who pushed through the government takeover of health care through Congress. So she is the number one point woman right now in the focus of the battle. And she's a perfect person for that, because she's obviously a regular American. You listen to her talk. You know, there's no this sophisticated talking points or none of this misleading rhetoric. None of this calculated deception that you see from Barack Obama going on all the time and his people. And that's the kind of genuineness that's going to win this year. And I'll tell you one more important point. The talking heads say this is an anti-incumbent year. No, it's not. It's an anti-liberal year. Don't let them confuse the issue. It's in every race, they're picking the more conservative candidate. And that, of course, was true in Arkansas, where Blanche Lincoln was attacked from the far, far left, and the far, far left lost. In every race, they're picking the most conservative candidate in the Democrat primaries, in the Republican primaries, because the public has had it with the liberals and the tricks that the new left used to take over the country.
Peter, obviously some key primaries still to come on the calendar, but you mentioned in a lot of these primaries, the more conservative candidate has won, so that bodes well for the Tea Party. There have been a few House races, including some also on Tuesday that didn't go that way, but overall, what kind of grade do you give the Tea Party in their effort to recruit candidates and their performance in these primaries?
Well, the Tea Party has been extremely beneficial and extremely helpful. Early on, even I had the fear that they would divide up the vote and cause political chaos. But in fact, they're, as befitting a grassroots organization that's decentralized and on the ground, they are carefully avoiding splitting up the vote. So we see in race after race, they are picking the most conservative candidate who can win, and they're getting behind. Instead of dividing up the Republican Party or starting a new party, they are taking over the Republican Party, and they are chasing out the rhinos. There was, in fact, a calculated, organized effort at the beginning of the year for the moderates. Beginning of last year, the moderates thought, okay, now we're going to take over the Republican Party. We just nominated a moderate in 2008 who went back down to humiliating defeat, but somehow they thought they were going to inherit the Republican Party. The rise of the Tea Party has destroyed that entire moderate takeover, that entire rhino movement. The Tea Party is basically the club for growth on steroids. That's the effect they've had. So their effect has been extremely beneficial, and I'm very gratified to see that.
Last question before we let you go, Peter, and it's on a different topic, but one we've addressed in the past. Your organization is very much involved in the effort to get the recall of Senator Menendez in New Jersey on the ballot this year. It went before the New Jersey Supreme Court not that long ago. What do you expect to happen there?
Well, you know, the New Jersey Supreme Court has a history of being a very political court, and we saw that in the oral argument, which turned into a political debate at one point, rather than into a legal debate. So we only need three votes on that to create a 3-3 tie, which would uphold the unanimous decision we won at the appellate division. If we don't get that, we will appeal to the United States Supreme Court and set a landmark precedent, giving people the power of recall, which puts this more power to the grassroots, and that's why it's so important.
Well, we'll keep track of that. Thanks for the update on that, as well as your analysis of a lot of different primaries on Tuesday night. Peter, always great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Peter Ferrara is general counsel at the American Civil Rights Union. He's also director of entitlement and budget policy for the Institute for Policy Innovation, and he served as an associate deputy attorney general for the first President Bush. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.